Hello, Mike.
Good morning, John.
Check. Okay, it's working, buddy. Hold on. Let me turn the volume up a little bit on me. But there we go. Good morning, Vietnam. Oh, man, it's working this morning. That's good.
You know, there's nobody on the internet who actually gets that.
No, I know. I know.
There's no one that listens to internet radio that understands that reference.
I'm sorry. I just thought that was his best movie.
It's great because Adrian Cronauer was his name.
That was his the character he was playing, right?
Yeah, right. Right. It was Robin Williams. Yeah.
Mm. But that's the film that I loved of Robin Williams.
Well, he was just a bundle of energy, and he was accused of a lot of things in the stand-up world of lifting other people's material. He was just a kind of an amazing guy to watch.
When
he and Jonathan Winters were interviewed on Carson, I think it happened two, maybe three times. Nobody else was scheduled.
Yeah.
And they just did. They just did skits, and it was just they just fell into this improvisational thing. Where, Jonathan Winters would become one character, Robin would become another, and Johnny would just not be able to get a word in edgewise. He tried, and, Jonathan would just look at him, like, dismissively and go, "I'm so disappointed that you said that." And then they'd just move right back to whatever skit they were, throwing out there, man. He was an amazing improvisational actor, I think.
I know. I used to. The other act I saw him really, I loved him at was he did some kind of duo thing with Billy Crystal, and
that was Comic Relief.
I think it might have been. I don't even remember.
Relief, and it was Whoopi was involved in that as well. It was
right.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Anyway. Oh God, they were so
Billy
funny.
Crystal and Robin Williams, and they. it stopped a while back, which is kind of sad. They did not pursue it any further, I don't think.
Yeah.
A couple years back, it stopped. But, it was... I always wanted to perform on that stage because they used a lot of younger talent to come out and kind of, there was some things running parallel to do kind of accomplish the same thing. It's like HBO's Young Comedian Special. That launched a lot of careers. Rodney had a rebirth by hosting that show, and that show you saw the Andrew Dice Clay,
right.
Frank Tennyson,
right.
The Texas Outlaws, Bill Hicks. There was some. Mm-hmm. And I think it was probably a bit pale in terms of its representation of stand-ups that were minorities, which also spawned the advent of HBO's Def Comedy Jam.
Right, right. I remember it, but
I think at the time, Joe Torre and Martin Lawrence, who's from the D.C. area.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson, who went on to, and Tommy was a really nice guy, actually, to me.
Yeah.
Tommy used to walk up to me, he's just a little guy, but he'd walk up to me because, I don't know, I guess I looked very, very, like a muscular thug Italian at the time, and he'd just walk up to me and go, "Hey, how you doing?"
I am. The scene I remember.
It slipped right into, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, you do that thing for that guy? You know what I'm talking about?" I don't know what you're saying, Tommy. I'm sorry. Dave Chappelle.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant.
Yeah, but he's also, I don't know if you've seen him recently, but he has been in the gym.
He has not?
Oh man, he was just on Colbert, and he has muscled himself up big time.
He's packed up, huh?
Yeah,
he's getting ready for
muscle on. You know, he has his I think 13-week run in New York City at the a very iconic theater. But I think I think it's 16 weeks now. It was 13 originally, but they added shows.
Jesus. I've seen him at various times, mostly on TV, but I actually saw him once live in Los Angeles. And, man, I was...
Very, very poignant. He's very, he doesn't hold any punches, man. He can say what he wants. And the funny thing is he still lives in a small town in Ohio.
They're all small towns in Ohio since...
No, I know. But my point is he was back and forth between D.C. and Ohio.
Yeah. The scene with Robin Williams that I most remember, and I don't know why, and it was with... He was doing something with Crystal, and they're trading insults, sort of.
Ah, yes. Of course.
But... And they were trying to each outdo each other, and it was getting pretty wild. It was funny as hell, but then Crystal finally just killed him when he told him that he looked like Trotsky on acid.
This coming from a man who looks like Trotsky on acid.
Yeah, I know. At which point, somehow, that just broke Robin Williams.
Had occasion. Robin would have occasion to, if somebody ripped him, he was gracious enough to laugh his ass off and live in that moment. And it's not like he had a bad time. You know,
it was good.
Thing is he was just a good person to a lot of people.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. There's a guy named Jamie Kilstein who Robin helped him start pirate radio. Jamie Kilstein was just from the area. I don't know if he's exactly from D.C. I think he might be from Maryland. But Jamie's a really nice guy and very smart and musically inclined. But I don't know if he's gone back to stand-up. I know he's stopped. I haven't seen anything really referenced about him. So, right. And guys like that I worry about sometimes, probably unnecessarily so, but I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't blame him
about Robin, because, he was obviously a victim of terrible depression,
Well, yeah, to discover that kind of news after what he had been through, he had some major surgery that, percentage-wise, not a lot of people come back from.
Right. Well, I didn't know that was...
He had open heart surgery. Yeah, they pulled his heart out of his chest and put it back in and sewed him up.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Everybody that has that kind of surgery, if they are subject to... depression prior to that, or bipolar disorder or something along those lines. And I'm speaking totally hypothetically. I don't know the specific details, but I do know that comes with a higher percentage of depression afterwards.
Oh,
even
absolutely.
Even if you're not a depressed person.
Right. But one of our best friends, for example, had open heart surgery, and the doctor was explaining it to him, because after he had the surgery, he engaged in some behavior that was quite different than before.
Right. And you feel for people.
He says what happens is if you got either in serious heart surgery or if you have a serious heart attack and your heart stops at any point, that, what happens is your brain shuts down in stages, all right, reserving the most critical functions for last, right?
Right.
But when you come back...
Not all those are activated.
Not everything is quite the same,
Forgive me for running water in the background. I'm rinsing my coffee cup out. I apologize.
Well, that's good to hear. By the way, let's have the official start of this program right now.
It's a Monday or Tuesday. It's a Wednesday. Wait, no, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
And so this is the Winners and Losers radio program. My good friend Mike and I'm John Case, and we're doing this morning news kind of program that we do. Thank you, Mike, for hanging in there with me.
Thank you, John.
And so we're getting ready for the... Oh, by the way, later, about I guess around 8:30, we're going to have a call from the Love Doctor, and I think Zaki's going to come down here to the house here around then.
Oh, well, good. That's good. That's been a while since I've heard Dr. Zaki. Yeah, and the Love Doctor. I haven't heard Dr. Zaki in a while.
Well, he was gone for a month, and then in the last week we were supposed to do it, but he forgot, you know, something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, he's a very, very busy man.
I know, and I'm told he's gone back to work a little bit too. He must have blown part of his fortune or something. I told him that.
I don't know a lot of people who haven't gone back to work.
Yeah, well, he's having to take on some patients now.
You know, I'm looking at my. You know, my own situation, and I would dearly love to go back to work. But yeah. I think probably my work is just going to change and evolve, and I'm going to do what it is that I do. And, you know, I was telling my wife, I was thinking about doing a one-man show called, Okay, You Wanted the Truth? Here it is.
Uh-oh, the truth.
You want to know how I really feel? Be right. Careful.
Okay, here they come.
Because you're not gonna like me very much after I tell you how I really feel.
I want to introduce you to a person you're definitely not gonna like.
You know, I was everything. You know, I had been talking with a while back. I know I had been discussing talking to. This is probably not a conversation we should have on the air.
But I was talking to
Mr. Bill, and you know, the potential for doing something at the Folly.
Yeah.
For, you know, like-minded people to come out and support. But the way I would want to do something like that is turn it into, you know, I'd like to do something like a fundraiser. Or, you know, whether it's for animal shelters or the Humane Society or possibly
the radio.
Well, for maybe a little bit of contribution for this station on the internet, cool. Possibly, and that kind of thing. I was looking at
what did Mr. Bill say?
The problem that I think people have is a lot of times, with the exception of the casino, because they have got money. You know, they're a massive corporation with money to burn. People do a lot of stand-up in the area, in concentrated areas, and it's kind of a one-off, or a two- or three-off.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? My idea would be to be a little bit more consistent than that. Just do something where it's like once a month, once every 2 months, that, you know, people can come and, you know, it's guaranteed to be a show.
Yeah, right. I think that'd be great.
An actual professional, you know, where there's you know, comedians that can.
What time of day did you talk to Bill?
What's that?
What time of day did you talk to Bill?
Oh, it was. He called me a while ago.
Oh, okay.
He called me a while ago, and I haven't really heard anything from him since.
So. I went over there yesterday, and of course, any time after noon is not the best with Bill.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend Rick the other day. You know, who was he had a program, blues program on WSHC, and now he's working at Walmart because he, you know, so desperate for money. Anyway, well, that's a story. Rick at Walmart. And he was telling me that he was trying to, you know, get a deal going with Rick about a blues program over there. And, you know, he got a hold of Bill at, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was a little too late. I said, you know, get a hold of him at 11, you know, in the morning. Yeah. He's usually pretty good then. So, anyway.
So
I love Bill. Bill's, you know, even though he's cantankerous and he gets on some people's nerves, I like him. You know, so.
He has a tendency to snap on things that are confusing to me.
Yeah, I know.
But then again, you know, the exact same thing could be said about me easily.
Hey, you know, one of the things I learned yesterday when Janet was doing this poet called Dennis... Carl Dennis, that was his name. And this poet was very interesting guy. You know, what he did was, every poem was like a what-if situation. And what he meant was, is that in every moment, right, you see all different kinds of people choosing different things out of a similar set of alternatives, and all these different paths that people take, right, and both their personalities and someone's backing into my driveway.
Okay.
Is that Dr. McGill coming early?
It might be.
We'll see. I don't know.
What a obvious piece of pleasantness that would be.
Well, it's a brown car. I've never. Oh no, that's our. That's the person that's helping out with the kids. Never mind. Okay.
Okay.
It's not Dr. McGill. They're going to go down and see the Natural History Museum.
I thought they were going on vacation.
Well, they're on after this. They're here for this week, and then on Saturday they're going up to Syracuse to meet their dad. Okay, then they're going to go. I mean, I think Carol's taking them up there because there's a wedding up in Syracuse, New York, of a relative. So they're going to hook up there. You know, but anyway,
are you headed up? Are you headed up there with them?
I'm not going to go up. I've lost so much time really here. I mean, taking care of the kids is wonderful, but it's a full time job. Let me tell you, So.
Right. How is your daughter feeling? Any better?
Better, much better. She's recovering. I think definitely much better. But she's probably going to need another 6 weeks of. Basically slow down,
Yeah, right. Take it easy.
I understand the urge. Go ahead.
I understand the urge to want to, and my brothers and I talk about this a lot, and I think I may have mentioned it. It's like the Cucurinis have this motto that if it's in the way, you can go around it, you can go over it, you can not bother with it, and our decision would be to just go right through it.
Right. Yeah.
So we kind of throw our hands in the air and go, what else am I going to do? So, we like to move, We like to get and do things and accomplish stuff. So when that's taken away, you kind of have a tendency to appreciate it a lot more when you're getting back into it. I got a chance to mow the whole grass. It was, it was painful towards the end. There was some, I'm not going to bullshit anybody about that. There was some serious abdominal pain. But the good thing is it didn't last.
Right.
It didn't linger. You know what I'm saying? It was probably necessary as things heal and, I get better physically. That's, by the way, a shout out to our good friend, JB, who I'm concerned. JB, just take it easy, buddy, and I hope you find the right people to help you with your back and leg situation, bro.
Yeah, what happened? I haven't heard.
Well, he's got some issues with his back and his leg, and I'm.
He was told me he's been in pain. Yeah, I had about three weeks ago, I had lunch with him, or two weeks ago, and.
He said he was feeling a little bit better, but I'm just I know sometimes he listens, right. And I just wanted to make sure that we. Told him, here's our thoughts and prayers, such as they are.
By the way, we have an important leak that's taking place. I'm sure Jeff Sessions will be investigating this. And here's the leak. It's from a unpublished government report of, 13 federal agencies which have scientific projects about climate change. And it can't be officially released until the president signs off of it. But since it is in direct contradiction to everything that Trump has said, it probably won't be released. So it's been leaked. Here it is. The average temperature in the United States has risen rapidly and drastically since 1980, and recent decades have been the warmest of the past 1,500 years, according to a sweeping federal climate change report awaiting approval by the Trump administration.
Fake news. fake news. It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's the deep report. State. Obama's doing it while he's parasailing.
Yeah, right. The draft report by scientists from 13 federal agencies, which has not yet been made public, concludes that Americans are feeling the effects of climate change right now. It directly contradicts claims by President Trump and members of his cabinet who say that the human contribution to climate change is uncertain and that the ability to predict its effects very limited. Evidence for a climate change abounds, it says, from the top of the atmosphere to the depths of the oceans. The authors note that thousands of studies conducted by tens of thousands of scientists have documented climate changes on land and in the air. Many lines of evidence demonstrate that human activities, especially emissions of greenhouse heat-trapping gases, are primarily responsible for recent observed climate change.
Anyway, oddly enough, on that last, as you were informing the public of this undocumented government report on reality, your voice was waggling a little.
Mm.
Like it sounded like it was, you know, started to go into a
waggle, waggle.
You know, you were on a cell, and you were in a bit of a bad cell area. Is what it sounded
waggle,
like.
Waggle.
But
waggle.
I mean, it came out. It just was like every third word was kind of.
Oh, okay. Let me
kind of jumbled a little.
The report.
But no, it was okay. I mean, it's okay. It's just
The report was completed. And a special science section of the National Climate Assessment, which is congressionally mandated every 4 years. The National Academy of Sciences has signed off on the draft report, and the authors are awaiting permission from the Trump administration to release it. One government scientist who worked on the report, Catherine Hayho. What kind of name is that, Mike? Hayho.
What kind of name is that? As a comedian, I have a responsibility to not respond to that.
Okay. A professor of political science.
It would be so unfair of me to make.
Because your Cucurini name would then be exposed, and you'd have to explain that too. And yeah, I know. Right. Okay.
Well, just because kids, my neighbors, used to sing songs like "Mike Cucurini without phone is weenie," you know, just because that. happen doesn't mean I have to go out into the world and bolt.
Yeah.
Mr. John on the case. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, oh, suitcase. And,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Case of beer.
Exactly, brief. John's very brief. Ha ha! Briefcase. You get it? Hey, good night, everybody. Thank you.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes. And she, so anyway, what was her report?
So this is a, she says, called these conclusions the most comprehensive climate science reports yet to be published. Yet, Trump is unlikely to publish them.
No.
They did not respond to calls that the no. about it? Yeah. Wow.
Just so reminiscent of the Black Knight in...
yeah, I mean, this is...
Oh, pass! I have no quarrel with you, brave Sir Knight. Your arm's off. Tis but a scratch.
I mean,
bleed on thee, stupid bastard. Bleed on me.
Yeah.
Look, victory is mine. Have at you.
All right.
Right. I'll bite your kneecaps off.
Okay, here now we have...
I'm sorry, John.
The new White House press secretary is more understated than her predecessor, Sean Spicer. But she still speaks for the president at war with the media. Here we go. Now start.
Well, I have to give that sexy liberal out of Los Angeles, Stephanie Miller, a little credit.
Yeah.
Because every single time somebody says something about Sean Spicer, I think of her impression, and it's that of a kind of nerdy guy looking constantly searching for acceptance but never really accepted by anyone.
Right.
Kind of, you know, guys like him. I want to. The president would never. The president said what he said, and I defend it. And that's all I have to say.
I know. Hey.
Every time I think of him, I think of just a poor, nerdy guy done wrong by everyone around him.
I mean, it's really difficult to fathom the depth of stupidity at work here in the leadership of our country.
Yeah, there's a real serious problem with the State Department.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, yeah. now we're hearing this morning here. Let me. There's another one. The head of the CIA now, which is Mike Pompeo, right? Another jackass. And what are they saying about him? He's Mike Pompeo has become the favorite of the president with tough talk and hawkish views at the helm of the CIA, which prides itself on being apolitical, but no more. Okay.
Well, then why did they pull the money and the funding for the operation going on in Syria?
Well, because it's a failure.
Well, and because it was also directly in conflict with what Vladimir Putin wanted.
Well, he's the boss, clearly. Okay, so I don't know whether he's the boss.
Why does the current occupant of the White House always fly off the handle whenever somebody brings up Michael Flynn?
Because I think Michael Flynn is the pathway to his impeachment.
That's certainly a certainly.
I would say that's the
That's
the main reason.
That might be it. I mean, there's some. I just don't see this guy.
I know.
Being able to think past the logic of a bumper sticker and not a long one.
Boy, I heard that, pal. You know, it's
The 2-minute man. That's what one of the people in the White House. It was leaked that I think it might have been H.R. McMaster that said he only has an attention span for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
and that's a real problem.
That's true of some of my grandchildren too, actually.
Well, yeah,
but he's the president. I know.
Yeah, that's
I know. It's just getting worse and worse, pal.
That's a very, very sad thing. Yeah,
feeling?
But the other thing, too, is at what point do people just kind of shrug their shoulders and not pay any attention at all to the executive branch of government?
I don't know. It depends on whether there's any food on the table.
You're starting to do that.
Doesn't it? It depends on...
let's also remember, you can't... There's someone on television, and I'm not going to even give them any credit, posing as an economic, economist.
Yeah.
Actually said this. Well, if it wasn't the car industry would be a lot better off if it wasn't for Obama. What? Wait a second. What?
Right.
The
I know.
You're still saying these arguments. It's kind of like 45 talking about Hillary.
Yeah.
Like these things are old and done, and you
right.
keep going back to the well.
Right. The traitor is Hillary and her email server,
me.
Yeah.
It continues to be project. Lie, obfuscate, rinse, repeat.
Hey, I'm going to write a new novel, I've decided, okay? And
oh, cool.
It's going to star Vladimir Putin, but not the real one, the one that I would prefer.
It's Vladimir. And now they're saying that they're talking about evacuating 755 jobs from the State Department. Please leave.
No, that's why I heard that, too,
Lavrov had indicated, and Tillerson's response was, well, we'll get back to you in September.
Well, yeah, he's allegedly reorganizing the entire State Department.
Yeah,
I read some article about that. But what does that mean? Anyway, by the way, Google has fired an engineer who published a rant about how women aren't qualified to be tech workers.
Yeah, my wife was reading that to me, and I was just like...
This stupid fool that wrote that.
Really?
I mean, geez,
you know. How do you defend that kind of nonsense? It's just nonsense. There's nothing statistically in that that made any sense whatsoever.
It's one of those stupid opinions that people have, and he goes out and.
And if he looks at the rates of female participation in mathematics. Overall, in the country currently right now, girls actually outnumber boys between the ages of 12 and 17. I think the number was something like 4-1.
Well, and it's even worse in some other countries. It varies a little bit. Some countries, it's the other way around. It's weird. It's mostly cultural, right? And that's what we're talking about here. I mean, if you exclude women from those occupations, then okay, there won't be that many. But countries that don't,
right. if you don't spark the flame a little bit and introduce people to things that they might be interested in, they're not going to be interested in them. It's very simple.
I'm going to look this up, but I believe that Asian American participation in the STEM stuff is pretty much evenly divided between men and women. Hold on. And Asian American women in STEM fields, gender. Let's see what that comes up on Google. Students in STEM fields by gender and race ethnicity. Okay, so Asian American. All right, well, in the U.S., it's not as. There we go. Okay, let's see.
Female studies were done.
Oh, okay. So it's actually much closer than you would think. I mean, it's still a little more men than women, but not that bad. Not that bad. All right. Anyway, okay. And I know in China and in India.
China,
not India. In China and in Israel, it's mostly women. It's interesting. I don't know. I think it's cultural mostly. So
I do not disagree, sir. And if you could please keep talking and give me about 30 seconds.
Okay, buddy. All right, take a minute.
I'm gonna put you on hold.
All right, buddy. All right, man. All right. So this is the Winners and Losers radio program, and you're listening to the Tuesday version here, which is kind of loose and foolish. We're going to have a conversation with Dr. Zaki McGill and the Love Doctor, Leslie Beth Wish, in about an hour from now, I think, and looking forward to that. Anyway, we're waiting for Mike to get... While we're waiting for Mike to get back, do it a little bit more... Mike's back, okay.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Winners and Losers radio program with your host and the original dusty-footed philosopher, Mr. John Case.
Thank you.
And Mr. Big voice guy, Mike Diesel.
Mike Diesel, who's the legendary comedian.
It's a Tuesday, and there's nothing legendary about anything Mike Diesel has to say. Coming up on the program at 8:30, we're going to be talking to Dr. Zaki McGill, who will be bringing on Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. We look forward to that.
That's right. And we'll talk about love.
Everybody.
Love, love, love.
Thanks, everybody. The love doctor is going to talk about love. All right.
She reduces even...
Why don't you try to listen and get a little love in your life? All right.
You know, she turns even political questions into love questions. Love questions.
Yeah.
Why would you go to a Fish concert, let alone 13 of them in a row? That's an article in the New York Times this morning.
Not a big Fish fan, so yeah.
Hackers demand millions.
Not,
in Bitcoin for stolen HBO files.
Right.
Wow.
Right. Okay. Well, and the other thing is for years and years and years, and this has been reported pretty prominently right now, this is something for you to consider, John. Russian government has pushed back against Bitcoin and type of
blockchain
payment.
Technology,
and,
I call it.
Well, yeah, right. But just recently, the head of Putin's government involved in that type of activity has met with, I think, three of the top companies as it's been explained, to find a way around sanctions.
Well, I know they're ticked off about it, but I don't know. It's
after spouting for years that this isn't, now they're, I could get around the sanctions. Well, let's have a meeting.
Yeah, but I noticed that Bernie Sanders voted against the sanctions. He was one of the two votes, actually.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Because Bernie thinks
I was a little disappointed, actually.
I think that you have to think about, whether or not there's more than one thing going. For example, I posted on Facebook, my own confusion about this, and I'm ready to. I'm about. Your theory about the you're not only your theory, but a lot of people's theory about that the motivation here is either a combination of Russia's reliance upon energy exports and maybe Putin's personal wealth or personal situation.
Well, not just his, but his Kabul,
his group or whatever. Yeah,
his handpicked team.
There's certainly possible that that's what's going on, but I got serious problems with it, and the main problem I have with it is that I don't understand. I understand a certain rational, or at least arguably rational, opposition to Clinton and Obama, actually, based on this Ukraine situation. Because you may recall that at the fall of the USSR, the West made all kinds of promises that they would not use it as an excuse to move NATO eastward toward Russia. That was a big, big deal, okay? But they violated that promise repeatedly over the past 30 years. I can't remember which of the former Baltic things it started in. It wasn't Ukraine. It was one. There was one before that where Putin started to seriously push back. Okay, and especially when he came back into power the second time, and so I understand. Okay, that is a foundation for why he might have said, "To hell with Clinton, I'm going to do something." But the problem I have here is a very savvy KGB guy from the old days, knows all this crap, right? He puts his chips on Trump, a jackass and a liar about everything to everybody, all right? And that part bothers me about how a guy who clearly makes calculations, okay, serious calculations, was it his what you're going to put your money on Trump, and when the chance and all these links of cash links, right, from Manafort especially and some of these other guys in Trump's team that obviously happened, right? I mean, there's definitely connection with the Russian oligarch.
Well, you got a guy working in his cabinet that was
definitely
in charge of the Bank of Cyprus.
There's definitely money, okay, that's moving that, but hold on. But my problem is that there's no way that Putin would not know that those links, since they're they could be exposed. And if they were exposed, given the long history of anti-Russian, anti-Soviet, bullshit hysteria for 50, 70 years, how would he calculate that would really play in his favor? And I don't see that one, okay? That bothers me, that he would not see that. I'm sure he would. that it would be highly unlikely that that Trump would play out in his favor. And now we've seen what happens with a 98-2 vote to impose, you know, harder sanctions against Russia, and that can't be what he wanted, or unless there's a deeper game going on. And that's what bothers me, is that there's some sort of something else. There's missing pieces in the thing that I don't get. Now, okay.
Yeah, I understand there's a history and everything else, but I'm not going to give. And, you know, you talked about, you know, a bullshit campaign. Look, there have been, in many instances, provable murders of any opposition to Putin. There have been people who have died tragically.
Yes.
Who have said anything negative. And that's, you know, that has to be, and I'm not saying anybody is holier than thou, but the numbers don't lie.
I'm not arguing that Putin's a good guy. I'm questioning.
What the motivation is?
Thought.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
what's the? What's looks, the? Yeah. I mean, that's a really great. What exactly is your motivation to? Are you attempting to push that the United States ramp up against you so you can continue to look like the victim?
Is that
the game you're playing?
You can't sell or bank anywhere in the West because of it? I don't know.
There's a lot of tainted money running around out there, John, on both sides. It's very much like we described. It's kind of hard not to shop at Walmart for poor people.
That's the truth.
It's the truth. You have to. It's like, hey, go ahead, try to boycott the Koch brothers. Give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know,
hey.
I mean, I'd love to try, but it's not.
If you want to shop, where do you go now?
Right.
Staples
right.
is closed.
All your local mom and pop stuff that used to exist and draw things. I mean, there are some really good examples out there of companies doing it right.
I know.
I can't remember, was it the name of the company? It was Wilco? Is that the name of the? I think it's called Wilco, but that's a direct opposite of what Walmart does. In terms of their business plan and how they involve their employees, and they actually I think start off at. I think $12 an hour is a training wage, and then that increases based on your participation in hard work and training. You get shares and benefits and all kinds of stuff. So.
Can we pause for about 5 minutes? I think my daughter's getting ready to take off here.
Call me back.
So, let me call you back in about five.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Winners and Losers radio program right here on enlightenradio.com.
And we're going to play we're going to play a bunch of old timer music from Willie Nelson here for a minute. And all right,
so out. Just
all right,
outstanding. All right, buddy.
Be right back, pal. All right, man.
Bye.
Take care. Yeah.
I followed you to hell and back. I'll follow you again. No matter where you take me, it's someplace that I ain't been. And I'll go to hell believing true love, you're still my friend. From the start to the finish, and until the bitter end, I live my life believing true love, you're still my friend. The whole damn thing is over, and we reach our journey's end. I'll leave this world believing in true love, you're still my friend. The road was always rocky, trouble waiting around every bit. I'll go to hell believing in true love, you're still my friend. You talk about taught me how to twist and turn and bend before I break. And fake it till I make it, all for her true love's sake. You're worth all the heartaches, and I'd do it all again. I'll leave this world believing in true love. You're still my friend. When the whole damn thing is over, never to be again, I'll go to hell believing true love. You're still my friend. I can't escape this prison, the cell I'm living in, where memories guard the image and true love. woman's love goes deeper than a man's, into a place only she understands. It's a healing touch, it's the blade of a knife, but it's a woman's love that gives you life. Love is stronger than a man's, that it can hold your heart in the palm of its hands. It'll keep the faith through the long dark night. It takes a woman's love to see the light. It'll make you fly, sink you like a storm. It'll leave you high, or leave you all alone. You believe her word, no matter what you've heard anybody say about it. There's no life for you without it now. Memory has a mind of its own. It knows where to go when it's gone. I think I've lost it, then it proves me wrong. Your memory has a mind of its own. Can't tell it what to do. I can smoke and I can drink until it's out of view. But I can't hold it off, it's too strong. And your memory has a mind of its own. Memory does what it wants to do. It survives, though I don't want it to. I do okay when I don't think of you, but your memory does what it wants to do. If your memory had ears, they'd be burning. If your memory had eyes, they'd be crying. And if it had a heart, it would leave me alone. But your memory has a mind of its own. I can't tell it what to do. I can smoke, I can drink until it's out of you. But I can't hold it off, it's too strong. Your memory has a mind of its own. Your memory has a mind of its own. If you even know, if you're going where you want to go, and if you're showing all you need to show. Butterfly, do you ever get to stay? Or do you always fly away? Pretty butterfly.
Well, good morning, everybody. Let's see what the signal on this guy is like. Testing 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. Testing. Testing 1, 2. What the two dot 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 dot. Testing 1, 2. Let's see what the rest of the thing says here. Testing. Testing. Dot 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 dot. Where? Better now. Okay, good. Let's see what Mike Diesel is doing. And you're listening to the Winners and Losers radio program. This is the August the 8th, 2017 broadcast. And I had to take a short break while I got my kids off to the Natural History Museum, Smithsonian, down in Washington, D.C. But that's been done. So now, let's see if Mike's back. Okay. We're expecting Dr. Zaki McGill to come in a little bit earlier. And what do we got here? That's a little high on the volume-wise.
Morning again.
Anyway, good morning. I'm having a serious feeling this morning that we have just been part of an avalanche, like in the past year, okay? That is a slow-moving, titanic collapse of this thing we were standing on that turned out to be snow. And now here we are sliding down into a crevasse as big as Pavonis Mons on the planet Mars. Which I understand is a deeper,
you know,
higher mountain, a deeper crevasse than anything in the Himalayas.
People that say, interesting, actually have absolutely no response.
Well, that's true. Okay. Anyway, I just...
I feel free fall. I don't deny that feeling. I would liken it to more like where there was at least some board, some type of thing we could walk on, but I feel as if it's been removed and the quicksand is gathering.
I know. My feet are firmly planted in midair.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, man.
I can prop myself up with this rainbow. What?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Now, yesterday, Paul Krugman had a... very powerful editorial. I have a love quarrelsome relationship with Krugman, but nonetheless, he was arguing once again against Bernie Sanders. All right, but he's been doing this ever since he became part of the Clinton inner circle. But in any event, although he's much more radical than either Bill or Hillary about most questions. Okay. Anyway, and much more progressive about it than either of them. But yesterday, he's arguing against, in the United States, pursuing Medicare for All. And the reason he gives, he says, okay, there are three models around the world of universal coverage. One would be United Kingdom, England, which has straightforward socialized medicine. And, it's a government service. All the doctors work for a government service, okay? And then you have, I can't remember the other one, it's Australia, okay, which has essentially a single-payer program in which there are many private services, but they're all paid from a single government insurance fund, okay? It's slightly different, right? That's a single-payer program. And then he says you have the Dutch model, which is universal coverage, but it's you buy coverage through private, not entirely unlike the ideal version of the Obamacare solution, but it's highly regulated, lots of subsidies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it works, okay? And those three countries have, I think, some of the highest measured health outcomes, that you can find. And at a cost, all of them have cost substantially less than the United States. But he's arguing in favor of the Dutch model. And he's doing it because, to him, he argues that path is politically more feasible because of this now, 70-year-long established history of private insurance and these 150 million people on private health insurance of one kind or another, independently or through their employer or whatever, okay? He's arguing that that's a better political path than the demand for single-payer Medicare for All right now. Now, I honestly don't know the answer to that question. And, frankly, Paul Krugman's political, quote-unquote, judgments have not been quite as... on point as his economic ones at times in the past. But on the other hand, it's a argument, it's a discussion worth having rationally about, because he's not backing off from the universal coverage thing or that. He's saying, hey, we're coming from the place we're at, those countries that have total single payer or all totally socialized, established all this, after the Second World War, okay? And they never had a private insurance system to so-called overthrow in order to get to universal coverage, in a sense, So I don't know, I wasn't sure when I was reading it. I kind of felt ambivalent. I thought he may have a point. Of course, the most important...
I think he has... I, I think he had a point, as, you know, most, he's obviously an experienced pundit, and I think maybe he might be looking more at, and this is just my opinion, he may be looking more at a sales pitch technique than he is the actual end product. In other words, I guess what I'm saying is, this is how we're going to sell this, rather than what's most effective. Now, he may be looking at both.
Well, he had another point, okay? Now, to your actually, to the point you're mentioning, he said, you know, the Medicare for All solution basically assumes that the private insurance industry is just completely reactionary, and you can't make a deal with them, okay, that amounts to anything. And we have some evidence of that so far, right? But
right, I mean, certainly there were some things that they said they were going to do that they haven't done.
Right, so, but nonetheless, he says, look what happened on the last days of the current debate about Trump Care, where Blue Cross Blue Shield and the American insurance industry came out against the Republican proposals. And that was a fairly important move at the end. I mean, whether it would have changed it, I don't know, but it was an important move. And so he was holding that out as, look, you might be able to make progress with a Dutch model where you're not effectively putting all these guys out of business, okay? Or you might not, because they obviously blow whichever way the quarterly profits also look best, you know, and that kind of thing. So
sure.
I don't know.
Sure.
But I think it's a worthwhile discussion, and it's not one of those things about which, you know, we ought to start saying, oh, you're against Medicare for All, you must be, you know, a Trump guy in progressive clothing, or you start having the Clinton Sanders, you know, bloodbath fight again.
John, I'd like to try to do everything we could to avoid that.
Yeah, I mean, me too. Because come on,
and you know, one of the interesting things is again, the study is the better, smarter. Speaking of engineers, people than us who.
Right.
Make their living or have their applied sciences in the internet and studying it, have said that you have to be very wary and careful of the amount of bots that are being produced exactly to continue to do the same thing, to continue to inflame any kind of argument in one direction or the other. Certainly, at one point in time in our lives, you know, we had a situation. There was a modern-day Republican Party, a modern-day Democratic Party, and the two actually dined together in certain circles, talked with each other, had a modicum of respect for each other and each other's families. It is sad to see that now. What, and this is just my opinion, I think the argument has moved into the Democratic Party, and that's where, unfortunately, I know there would be a lot of pushback from the right about this, but unfortunately, it seems as if the former moderate Republicans are now more Democrats than they are Republicans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No.
Does that make any sense? You know, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I think, you know, Krugman obviously has a great deal of experience and a great deal of knowledge, and certainly people should be heard who are in his position. You should listen to what the man has to say. It doesn't necessarily mean everyone who listens to what he has to say is on board with what he has to say. You're not. You know, you may not be on board, but you certainly think, okay, well, this is an interesting idea. Let's discuss this. Let's discuss all the pros and cons of, you know, Medicare for All. Let's discuss all the pros and cons of, okay, we're going to put everything in a big pile and just pay the insurance companies from the government, and you're going to be taxed for it.
Right.
You know, which certainly we're talking very much on a consistent basis about heading down different paths to achieve the same goal.
Yeah, we want universal
coverage,
affordable coverage. That's what we want.
Right. Exactly.
And I want to go to the doctor, and I want to, you know, have one available, and I want to be able to go when I'm sick. You know, so
you know what, John? No one cares what you want, John. God,
I know. Just one vote. John. Who cares what I want?
And who are you, John?
Yeah. Yeah, right. He with me. Right. I don't even know. What's going on.
I mean, I do think, though, like an interesting discussion relates to that, every bit as much as it's interesting to talk about the fact that I feel as if our infrastructure, healthcare, energy, all of those things, there is this constant and consistent talk about how great privatization is, John. And we see it, and it's been a campaign for how many years now?
100.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. I mean, you see this in when they decided to destroy all the community mental health centers.
Right.
When they said, you know, sociology majors and so on and so forth are just blowing the government's money, you lazy bastards.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah. That was Reagan.
You can't handle this, and we're going to take your money away.
Yeah.
And then you saw cause and effect, because what you saw after that was an explosion of homeless people.
Yeah. I mean, that was a new problem, actually.
Directly related to you know, that destruction. And for people to, that's the interesting thing, is to, it's very much like talking about how, you know, like I can explain how, you know, Obama didn't have anything to do with the recovery of the auto industry. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Have you talked to anybody in the auto industry about that? Yeah.
Is that really so?
Yeah,
and the constant, you know, taking credit, inheriting something, and then taking credit for it. Sounds very familiar.
You know, Fox News was just last week or 2 weeks ago denied, again, the right to establish a broadcast license in Canada.
Oh, I know.
And the grounds given was that, I'm sorry, we have a statute that says you can't deliberately broadcast false news and lies. Period.
Wow.
I thought that was great. You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're not saying we don't like you. We're saying that we don't like you.
Well, this is true.
We're not actually advocating for your destruction.
It turns out, hold on. It's very important. Stephen Harper, the former conservative Canadian PM, right, tried to get a law passed, tried to repeal that law, saying that it's not okay to lie to the public, okay? But that's what the law says. And he couldn't get it repealed. And so now Trudeau, though, is directly enforcing it, and I thought it was great. I love it. You know,
I say good for them.
Yeah, good for them.
I say good for them. Good on them.
We're not going to have news broadcasts full of just Hail Mary passes about BS, right? You know,
right. Which just continues to just destroy.
Yeah, the credibility
of
anything.
Destroy any kind of credibility on any issue.
Yeah.
I have a report here that says, what's it from? Breitbart is reporting. Okay, I see. That's, all right.
That brings up the horse in me when you mention Breitbart isn't reporting. I turn instantly into Mr. Ed.
Wilbur.
Wilbur, you fool.
there's a point in time, we have another, yet again, another Fox News rising star shot out of the sky.
Oh,
because of, he can't keep it in his pants. Or he can, he just he can't stop taking pictures of it.
Imagine the culture that makes all this okay. They've had, I mean, you're starting to ask, were any of the male hosts not perverts? I don't know. I mean, and does right-wing politics and, you know, public indecency go hand in hand?
Well, certainly, it would be easy for me to respond by saying something awfully hacky, comedic-wise, like, you know, speaking of hand in hand, you know what I'm saying? That's awful.
Don't.
There would be no reason, no coherent reason in the world for me to react that way, John. It would be beneath me and small-minded. So,
all right,
I will go ahead and post a picture of my cat. Okay.
There you go. Participating in the free-for-all of public exposure, Mike Diesel has shown a naked picture of his cat.
It's a picture of a kitty. The kitty is naked. There's a particular piece of awfulness in someone's psyche to behave that way.
Where are you at? God almighty.
Isn't it
what's
a cry for help?
It must be.
Isn't it a cry? It's some kind of weird systemic cry for help.
Yeah.
Especially because it's not just, this just happened. These are repeat offenders.
Yeah.
These are people who haven't done this once, haven't done this twice, but more than twice, okay, you've got some issues.
Yeah. I mean, they had one woman on there that was just a guest twice, and, you know, and he did it. I mean, come on. Brings out the Mr. Ed. Yeah, Wilbur.
Well, it's very much.
Why don't you keep those pictures to yourself?
Wilbur.
You fool.
The famous Mr. Ed. And horses, of course.
Yeah. Oh, you remember the jingle? I don't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. It just actually popped up in my head because it was occasionally playing in the background when I was probably trying to figure out why Lincoln Logs weren't nearly as impressive as Lego blocks.
So, yeah, I see. Right.
How much more creativity with the Legos.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to EnlightenRadio.org, and this is the Winners and Losers radio program. Sean Case and Mike Diesel, and we're having fun with the news and the landslide. The landslide.
The landslide.
I know. That's why I saw my reflection in the landslide. I don't know.
Big man, they took it down.
A little bit later, we're going to have the Love Doctor on going on about what do you do when you hate your husband?
Ouch. Well, I guess what we should probably think about doing is putting my wife on. Hey, everybody!
Yes. Right. I can speak to that question.
Let it find out. We'll all discover together. Coming up at 8:30, Dr. Rish and Patience Waite talking about how she can't stand her husband. All right, everybody.
Yeah. Anyway, but...
Well, that's not necessarily true. I'm just being over the top for...
I know, for the sake of...
There are moments, I'm certain, when she's looking at me and looking at the window on the second floor.
By the way, the United Auto Workers lost big at the Mississippi Nissan plant.
I saw that. Now, that certainly is not going to help.
You can't win an election in this environment. You can't. You know, I mean, the company threatens you with the jobs. It's the best job in the area. You know, I mean, most people are going to say no.
There's no other job. There's no other,
Well, there's the usual southern, hustling around you know, bringing pills to people or something. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, decent jobs with benefits. I understand Nissan, after 3 years service, gives you a car.
There's a different response now when you ask someone if they can cook.
That's true. Yeah, so I can
completely,
cook.
It means something completely different now. It's unfortunate, I shouldn't joke, but it's true. I mean, there's a lot of truth in what I'm saying. When you ask someone if they can cook, it doesn't mean the same thing that it used to. It just doesn't, and it's really unfortunate, man, and frightening. Frightening on so many levels.
So anyway, here's the interesting thing. Now,
so many good, John. I mean, I'm making a bigger point. There's a lot of good people out there that have been brought down by this horrible drug epidemic, and it is awful. It is awful. I do believe it's unlike anything we've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And numbers wise, it's frightening. And I don't know. I certainly don't think the current administration gives a shit, nor do they want to.
By the way, did you read Senator Manchin's statement yesterday?
Yeah, speaking of, not giving a shit.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, Jeff.
Actually, that was coming from the Republicans. And he was saying, F you, I don't give a shit. Frankly, I'm glad he did, you know. I mean, he has a lot of problems. But apparently, you know, being a complete traitor and suck ass is not one of them. I don't know, but I just I was thankful that he said it. Actually, he says, I'm not, you know, I don't care how much you pay me. Well, maybe it's not even true. I don't know, but the statement, yes, you know, that's a statement I would be hoping he would make. You know, F you, okay, which is basically what he said.
Well, I mean, how do you think he feels about his former, I got to believe they're still friends, his friend,
I bet they're not that close right now, you know, because that was a stab in the back to Manchin. That was. Yeah. There's no way to read that one any different, okay? He probably raised that with Trump when they were on there hunting. Can you imagine Jim Justice hunting? Well, what was he hunting from? A truck? I mean, I can't walk after that deer. I got, what the hell?
Oh, I won't need the golf cart. Can y'all bring the golf cart around?
And he's so tight with Trump's family. So loves Trump's family.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I don't even have words for that. It's
I don't think anybody does, Don. Repugnant, traitorous, treacherous, pathetic. All these things come to mind. There's a special place for somebody that is that traitorous.
I think it's number. I assign him the number three place in terms of the greatest jackasses in the history of the United States. Number one being Trump, number two being Chris Christie, and the third now being Justice.
Right.
Well, if you see my buddy.
Hey, everybody, did you hear that? John Case is saying, you, congratulations, Jim Justice, you are our depth chart, have just moved to number three jackass. Way to go.
That's right. Hey, if you see, you know, my good friend Chris Myers, the guy that was the musician, friend of, he's married to Carol's best friend. Anyway, he's been doing all this art, okay, him and his buddies up there in New Jersey, of putting Chris Christie on everything, right? You know, his beach chair, they cut it out, and they've got it on everything, all over Facebook.
Oh, I see it. I see it on Facebook. God. I see it on Facebook. It's hilarious.
Great. It's just great.
Fantastic. That's good work. That is really good work.
The last one he did yesterday was there's some broken down bridge someplace, and he you know, like, he put
Oh, yeah,
Christie
I saw that right in the middle. Just sitting there. You know, and why is it every time he's screaming at someone at any event, he's holding an ice cream cone or something fried? Why?
Oh, well, now I wonder about that. Yes, right. I know.
You know, I'm not being hypothetical. This is true. each time you see him, and, you know, I just pause and go, I look at it and go, you know, to myself and my own personalized situation there, but for the grace of God, go I.
Well,
you know, I
the
think,
same thing.
And then my next thought is, somebody's stress eating.
Yeah, except that, you know, they say Trump does the same thing. Like, he has to have an ice cream cone brought to him after every third hole on the golf course that he owns.
I get two scoops. Two scoops. I get two. You don't get two scoops. I get... Mommy says I get two scoops. What?
I saw an obscene...
Two scoops for me, too.
You know,
I get two.
I saw a really obscene cartoon yesterday. I must... Somebody from the West Coast, you know, who did a picture of Trump, let us say, having anal relations with a bent-over Jim Justice, you know, say, I just love his family. I just love his family.
Yeah, I just love his family.
Yeah, just, I saw, this was like a terrible.
Ooh, they all got pretty mad. Hold on a second, I got to reach up there and get some more grease.
I can't. Oh, whoa, that was
I was pushing it a little bit, wasn't it?
I know,
it?
That was that? Almost olfactory in its.
Hold on a second, I got to grab the KY.
But I love his family.
His family's a good people.
I love the Trump family. They're just great. You know, a couple of billionaires having a love show.
Fantastic. They've been so good to me. I got to... Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. I'm almost up to third step. Hold on.
Yeah, right.
I don't need it. I made it up the steps again.
I know. Anyway, so, well, here we are. See, that's another part of the avalanche. Another part of the avalanche is that you're going down and saying, yes, I too was suckered.
Yeah, man, we all were. We all were.
Oh, man. I just
looking back on it, you know, I have to give Rhonda Lehman, as I have said, a lot of credit. She called it.
Yeah, she did, didn't she? I know.
She called it. She called it. She said, you know, you guys got to think about what if. And
right.
Everyone was like, oh, it's okay.
I know. Well, David Matos is doing the same thing. I never voted for him. Never will. You know, so he's... But,
yeah. You know, I mean, that's great. That's great, but yet...
Bill Cole?
Unfortunately, guys, he's still there.
Yeah, he's still there.
whether you want to take credit for whatever, that's fine. He's still there.
I can't help and West Virginia anymore as a Democrat.
No longer. Just a gelatinous blob of stupidity.
It's way too much. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I can't help the state of West Virginia either. And if there's any conservatives that have a love-hate relationship with our show and are interested in purchasing a home, contact the station. And
yeah, there you go. Hey, this is a community of fascists that are all, you know, doing it to each other, you know, in love, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, taking each other's wives out. They're murdering each other's children. I mean, they're going living without any health care that you cannot purchase. You know, they're just they have the best drugs ever, okay, and plus they have the police department protecting them 24/7. It's just wonderful.
Please step this
wonderful,
way.
Wonderful,
please step
wonderful.
This way and smile. Please step this way and smile. Please.
I know.
Look to the left.
God. I know. It's just wonderful.
You don't want to see this. You don't want to actually see this. Just look to the left. Everything will be fine. Everything's going to be all right.
It's just,
you know, I say that, and actually, I don't know. I don't. I really don't. I don't know if everything's going to be all right, John, and I think that's part of the problem. There's a, you know, there's a nerve that's been struck in this entire... entire situation that I don't know that it can ever be unstruck. I applaud the continued and aggressive pushback that we've seen from so many people. I've never seen this amount of people become such aware, hyper-aware citizens. And I think that has a lot to do with what's going on as well. And I don't think that's such a bad thing. That's a really good thing.
Well, Ben,
what I don't know is how much damage is going to be done before we're able to get a hold on it, get control of it, understand that this is going to be really hard for everyone. I'm not saying can we fix it. I think we're past can we fix it. I think we're at a situation where we have to say, can we survive?
Yeah,
maybe that's too fatalistic on my part, but I don't think so.
Imagine if we if this climate change stuff is true, we're reaching the. I think we're coming close to the best we can get out of the current business cycle before there's another bump of some kind. Maybe mild, maybe severe, who knows? But it's going to happen, right? So it's really...
Are you talking about that bump trending downward?
Yes, it's going to definitely trend downward. No question about it.
And I do not disagree with you, and the question I guess I would have for everyone out there is, I don't know, in our current situation, I don't think we can survive another one.
In our current personal state, we can't
survive another one. And if it does hit that way, I know exactly what we're going to do.
You're going to go back to Culpeper?
I'm not from Culpeper. I'm not from there. I've never been from Culpeper, John. That's just where my family lives. I'm actually from Woodbridge, Virginia. I didn't grow up in Culpeper. That wouldn't be. But I certainly would have no problem. And really, John, I don't know that I would even do that. We may decide that our situation would be better served moving to another state up north.
Well, I mean, you might have everybody that I know who lives in Vermont loves it.
It wouldn't necessarily be Vermont, but it would be Massachusetts more than likely, I would guess.
Sure, because your wife's from Greenfield, also a beautiful place.
Right, that area would be certainly something we would prefer. That would be a preferred area if that's something. But I'm hoping. We can put some things in place before that happens to move things along. So I'm being very cryptic because I don't want to be specific. I don't want to be the hell.
No,
you said on August 8th at 8:20 a.m., Mike Diesel, you said to John Case on the air that you would do this, this, and this. So, and my wife is too.
Yeah, right, right.
Right. Well, it depends on what happens. And certainly, manufacturing has increased. And they keep talking about, they have released businesses and not put these regulations in front of them. That's why you're seeing the explosion of coal jobs. It's an explosion, John, an explosion. 76,000 coal jobs in the country. 76,000. There's your explosion.
Wow.
76,000. There you go. Let's stop talking about it as if it's something viable and big. It's not.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing. West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrison has joined four other states seeking to overturn ruling. I'm going to get into it, about gun rights. Saying it in French. So listen to this. Most would agree no traffic stop is routine. Some, including judges with the U.S. Fourth Circuit of Appeals in a recent decision, would say traffic stops can be risky. The case involved a felon who was arrested in the state's eastern panhandle in March of 2014 with a gun in his pocket following a traffic stop. Police received a tip. The vehicle's passenger, while parked at the site of a drug trafficking hotbed, had just loaded a firearm before getting into the vehicle. Police stopped the vehicle because no one was wearing seatbelts and frisked the passenger, which led to discovery of his weapon and arrest for possession of a firearm by a felon. All right. But now, Attorney General Patrick Morrissey says the Fourth Court Circuit of the federal courts ruled in January that traffic stops are inherently dangerous and said traffic stops of person who are armed, whether legally or illegal, pose a great risk to police officers. The West Virginia felons case is now headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay, and see there, you shouldn't be able to frisk me for a weapon. That's the West Virginia Attorney General's position. Think about that one. Okay. All right. Let me. Zaki's here. Can we take a short pause here for a second?
Take as long as you need, bro. Why don't you go ahead and get.
Let me get set up. I got to get his
comfortable
seat
and get set up. You guys get set up and get ready to interview Dr. Wish, and I'll listen intently. And if you need to call me back, please do.
I will. Okay, buddy. All right, man. Talk
okay,
to you
guys.
Later.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. Woof woof. And let me get started here with some music while we get ready. And I guess we can continue with Willie, right? We'll do that. Only we'll do this one.
Got the news this morning. Knew it'd be a tough day. Some are so much larger than life. You can't believe they could pass away. When it comes to country music, he's the world. And it wouldn't be all it is without Merle. That he won't ever be gone. His songs live on. A fugitive and a branded man. Mama tried to understand. Left us a lifetime of song. And he won't ever be gone. We were friends right from the start. And we shared some high times. I would sing some songs he wrote. And he would sing a few of mine. The music made us brothers till the end. Not a day goes by that I don't miss him. He won't ever be gone. His songs live on. Rambling fever and the way I am. Blue collar blues for the working man. We'll be singing him back home from now on. And he won't ever be gone. He won't ever be gone. His songs live on. A fugitive and a branded man. Mama tried. Understand, left us a lifetime of song. He won't ever be gone. We'll be singing him back home from now on. He won't ever be gone.